Greetings, Oilers fans. Time for a little action on the old Got Your Back podcast. My name is Jason Strudwick. Oh, fun game, but tough ending for the Mighty Oil. They fall in overtime to LA Kings, 5-4. We're going to break this one down front to back for you. It'll be myself, Joaquin Gage, Ryan Rashog, and Rob Brown will jump in later, and of course, Zuby will do it. And I'm doing this all from the comfort of my Long Shot studio. All Oilers game nights during the playoffs are all-you-can-eat wings. 25 bones a person or 25 bucks in English. Visit Long Shots in Sherwood Park. I love chicken wings. Love them. And they're really good over there. I've had them before. Great to have you guys with us. Oh, heartbreak. Heartbreak hotel, as Frank Sinatra used to say. Tough. Overtime loss. Quick, though, it was 2 minutes, so you didn't have to stay up too late. Tonight will be myself and, of course, my good buddy, Joaquin Gage. Gager, it's great to have you along for this ride as Rob Brown and Ryan Rashog kind of finish up their day jobs. Buddy, quick thought, I guess, on the game tonight by the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, you probably dissected even more so, but I think we knew what the Oilers were going to get into. It was going to be a completely different Los Angeles Kings team in this game. I look at the first game as that wasn't the real Los Angeles
sure.
Kings, and well said. the fact that the guys that have done it before and had monster games. I know Kempe wasn't part of those Stanley Cup winning teams, but you look at Doughty, you look at Kopitar. They were better than the Oilers' best players. So that's, and I mean, we can get to the goaltending later, but essentially that's, to me, Strudy, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
Is the LA Kings' best players were much better than the Oilers' best players, and it showed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Lots to get to tonight, and our podcast is brought to you by our good buddies over at Sherwood Buick GMC. If you or someone you know is even remotely interested in a new or pre-owned vehicle, stop in, and I can guarantee you'll receive the best deal and customer service. Visit the crew in Sherwood Park at 10 Automall Road or online at www.gmcpod.com. And I'll tell you what, I was down there at the game tonight. It was rocking. There are more jerseys in there than... You know, I can't believe my jersey in there. It was jerseys everywhere. I bet you eight out of 10 people were rocking a jersey. I remember that started with the Red Wings. We go and play in Joel's Arena, and everybody had jerseys on from you know, goalie cut all the way to, you know, the Euro cut jerseys. It was absolutely incredible. And I don't know, do you remember a place that had jerseys like that all over the place, Gager?
No, it's been growing, and I think the start of it was the orange jerseys with the Oilers. Everyone started like the sea of orange. That's when I really realized how many jerseys were out there. But it wasn't till a childhood friend of mine came to Edmonton a few months ago when we went to a game, and you know, we're sitting there, and that was the first thing he said to me was, "I can't believe how many jerseys are in the stands.
This it's is crazy.
It's like everyone on the bench. Where's the bench? Because it looks like there's a bunch of Oilers players in the stands here. So I mean, it's great. I mean, you and I, we're no strangers to, you know, European dominance. that was a big thing over there too, right? The people wore their colors to the game. I think it's great. I love it. I think it's awesome.
It's so good. So good. Well, let's get into this. Let's break down this 5-4 loss. LA Kings over Oilers. They now have a 1-1 share of the series. The breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They perform services from oil changes to engine swaps, overhauls, and modified engine work. Drop in or check them out at adrenalinediesel.ca. All right. Got to start at the very beginning. You touched on it a little bit there. The Kings had a better game of themselves. The Kings' mindset for this game, to me, they out-hustled the Oilers. You know, not the Oilers were trying, but that was a desperate team over there. They knew if they got down 2-0, you know, winning 4 of the next 5 against any team in the playoffs is going to be hard, but against the Oilers would be really difficult. And they came out just on fire. The Oilers had a great start in game one. Gager, I thought tonight the Kings really stole the show, especially early with their kind of commitment. And number one thing I talked about, their forecheck was aces tonight.
Yeah, putting pressure on the Oilers' D is the key for Well, it's the key for any type of success, especially in the playoffs here. They came ready to play. The Oilers seemed to, unlike game one, they were going into the pool like tiptoeing in. You know, there wasn't a huge jump into the and get things going. I thought they allowed the Kings to feel better about themselves earlier on. There wasn't that same type of intensity. And, you know, it's you look at some of the goals. I mean, I look at the first goal as just completely avoidable, where just unprepared. You know, there's a great play by Fogle backtracking. I always look to that first pass that the D-men make. You know, if they can start making that pass tape to tape, especially at the start of the game, that gets everyone moving, gets the puck going, you know, north really quickly. Bouchard kind of tries the little bank pass. And in those zones, Strutty, like those 6 feet on either side of the blue line, like Leon does a big hope play at the start of the game. And before you know it, it's in the back of your net. Like it's the attention to detail and the hope plays that I saw from the Oilers in those really difficult zones where, you know, 6 feet on either side, you got to get that in or out, or it's coming back the other way and usually a scoring chance. Just the attention to detail, and you've talked about it lots, game management just wasn't there.
Soft. It's a soft play, right? And so there's three guys I think that could have done it better. I think Bouchard could have made a harder play there. Fogle could have just grabbed that puck and just bullied it out. Or Leon could have got a bit more, come back a little harder, made a harder play. And that's, so three guys kind of wearing that one. So I think that's an easy one. Move on to the second goal. This is the one that was tipped off the rush by Kempe. And then he just knocks, or I think maybe went off Bouchard's stick. Either way, he knocks it out of the air. And, you know, I've talked about this before with Bouchard, and we had a goal earlier in the year where he just tie up the guy's stick. Just tie him up the stick. It's off the rush. Just take his stick out of the play. And I know people will say, oh, you're picking on Bouchard. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm identifying a play that I've seen done and been witness to 1,000 times. You tie up the stick. If you tie up the stick, even if he's a half step ahead of you, he's not getting that play. So, you know, I could Skinner maybe make a save. I don't know. He knocked it out of the air. The guy looked like Babe Ruth hitting out of the air there, Gage or Kempe.
I just want to go back to the first goal too. Like we kind of, we zeroed in on three players there. I'm sure we'll talk about the goaltending. I'm still waiting for one of these guys to actually grab the series. Like this is, Talbot outplayed Skinner, I would say tonight, but they have both, have not been good so far in these two games. There's a lot of stoppable pucks that they're allowing past them. I'll get to it later probably, but Stuart Skinner, his preparation. I've said this before. I tell young goalies, you do not relax until that puck is on the other side of the blue line, or if it's coming your way, you gotta get prepared. And I think really, Strutty, in that case, that whole play, that Kempe first goal caught him off guard, where quick turnover the blue line, he goes, oh, I gotta do something here. You can't relax. And you know, great shot, unbelievable shot by Kempe, but you need a save there. He's made that save before from that spot. And I think the whole play just caught him off guard. The second one, I'm completely with you, Strutty. Like I've always said, just grab his stick. Like I'd be playing. Just you don't have to out muscle him. You don't have to like stay loose. But when the puck comes, just control the stick. He can't score without that thing. And you know, he tries, it almost puts it in his own net, trying to bat it out of the air. It's a hope play. Again, weird.
Just a little bit casual, right? So that's just, you know, it's a vibe. And there's a theme here. I think we can get into it. Let's get to the third goal by the Kings. There's offensive zone kind of pressure by the Oilers. And then the D-man who is in the deepest corner beats everybody up the ice, Drew Doughty, and kind of a missed assignment by Nugent Hopkins turns into a breakaway for a D-man who was in the corner of his own zone. Gets a breakaway. And I'm not talking about Kale McCarr. I'm not going to talking about Heiskanen, the fastest players in the league. I'm talking about Drew Doughty from his own corner, beats everybody up and gets a breakaway. Now, to be fair, he didn't get the greatest shot off, but you know, I you know, D-man getting a breakaway to me is really quite a shocker. When I was sitting actually in the end, he was coming towards, I'm like, is that Drew Doughty in a breakaway? Like I was shocked. And, you know, so again, you know, you're kind of not in too bad a shape. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's a breakaway. And I think that, again, just a little bit off, and maybe the Kings were pushing it all night long.
Yeah, I thought there could have been a better handoff. I think Fogle was the low guy at that point. He could have been yelling, you know, because all of a sudden Nuge just caught up. The communication throughout the neutral zone was bad. For the goalie, those are so difficult to stop, right? Like, because it looks like Doughty's trying to make a move to his backhand at that point, and the stick gets bumped. Skinner looks like he's, you know, he's ready to follow him from left to right, and the puck kind of goes. It's kind of like a, you think it's a fastball and it's a changeup. I don't blame goalies too much, because so many of those have gone into me over my entire career that it's something that you're just not expecting, right? So, but again, yeah, a very stoppable play from where it started and where it ended up.
Well, let's go to the...
We got Shager on the phone here. And also, yeah, if you want to go to, we've got the clip from Skinner. He talks specifically about that. You want to you tee it up there, Struds.
Yeah, so let's just keep Shager in the on-deck circle here. And we're going to go into the Weath Johnson soundbox. Brought to you by Weath Johnson. They're offering 200 clams off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive to keep the air in your home clean. If we have another forest fire season like we years past, this filtration system will take the whole smoke out of your air, out of the air in your home, and be especially helpful to those with respiratory issues. Contact them today for this amazing deal by visiting WeathJohnson.com today. Hit it. Let's hear from Stuart Skinner.
Talking to you guys right now, you know, 15 minutes after a game, it's a little frustrating. But give me an hour and I'll be all right.
The Doughty goal. It looked like you were waiting for him to make a move.
I'm sure you guys could ask him the same thing, but he was wanting to go backhand, and Nuggy actually made an unbelievable play, and I just kind of got caught in the mix of things and didn't read it well and snuck it in five-hole. But that's kind of, again, that's kind of stuff that's happening. Every shot that they take, it seems to hit off a guy's stick and hit off a skate, and then they're able to make some plays, so... some things that we all get to learn as a unit and move on and get better from this.
That was Stuart Skinner. We'll get to kind of his overall play in takeaways. Now we're just kind of going through the goal, Shager. We've gone through, as a welcome, Ryan Shock, to the show, where we've gone through the three first goals. And I guess, you know, any comments you want to make on those three first goals and just kind of we're what we're talking about is just kind of not the determination and at times soft plays by Oilers that led to relatively easy opportunities for the Kings.
Yeah. Happy to finally join the show, guys. Thanks for putting me on hold for the first 7 minutes of my show. Sorry, our show. Ready, our show. One of the things I think we heard a lot about in the locker room after the game was bad bounces. Like, lots of bad bounces. Talk of bad bounces at the end of game one. Talk of bad bounces in this game. And I understand that you want to stay positive. And I understand that, you know, what they say to us might not be what they really think. And so I keep all of that in mind. But what I would say, guys, is that I think it's dangerous to just chalk up what happened tonight to sort of, you know, bad bounces. I mean... You know, it sounded like the Oilers felt like they were pretty happy with their game tonight. They controlled a bunch of it and got some bad bounces and, you know, all good. I think that's a little bit dangerous. I think they got outplayed early in this game. I think they made some bad mistakes early in this game. I think they were lax in their coverage. I think they were sloppy with the puck. The LA Kings get full marks for this win. This is not about puck luck. And I just heard a lot of that in the Oilers room. Again, I know they're going to say that. And that, you know, of course they know that they need to be better, but the LA Kings have made this a series big time. And the Oilers need to return serve the way the Kings did here, guys. This was not just about bounces. at all.
Yeah, and I, that's kind of been our theme here, is that I do believe you create your own bounces by hard work, but I think the other team also can contribute to those bounces when, you know, just plays away from the puck or plays with the puck just aren't as strong as they could be. Now, the fourth goal, I don't want to get too locked down now when I think Skinner was screened, and we can maybe get into that later, guys, but I want to get to the winning goal in overtime, 2 and change minutes into the overtime period. If you didn't see the game, the puck goes from deep in the Kings zone, fired up the wall. You know, I think it was maybe tipped by Quinton Byfield, who, by the way, is playing well and I think getting stronger each game. And Kopitar swings across and gets a breakaway and scores. Now, I believe it was CeCe who pinched up on Byfield. And then Kopitar comes across. Darnell's finds himself on the wrong side of the game, of that play. Goal on Skinner. Again, let's not talk about his play, but just Skinner's, that is, but just that whole moment. I would like to see the D-men play that a little differently. You know, if you're going to be there at a pinch, puck's got to stop there, or Darnell's got to always funnel underneath, so you're the last guy there, Shogger.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there were a couple of instances tonight where the Oilers' recognition of danger was maybe just a quarter second off, right? So, like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, not really understanding the odd man rush that was about to develop and allowing himself to get beat on the back check. The Nurse one, for sure. Hard bounce, right? Really, really tough bounce. But that bounce aside, I don't think he needed to be where he was on the ice. I think he could have been in a safer spot. So, I don't know, Gager, like, and I know we'll get into Skinner's play here in a little bit, but I thought there were just a little bit sense of urgency in recognizing danger was a little lapsed a couple of times for the Oil.
No, it's it was indicative of their start of the game, kind of feeling it out. You know, they were playing checkers, not chess, looking for that one move ahead, or anticipation was not on the Oilers' side tonight. And that goal in overtime just goes to show that when you're feeling it, when you're intense, you're watching the situation. Darnell Nurse shifts and protects the middle of the ice there, just in case. I mean, Byfield did tip that. I rewound that a bunch of times. Granted, it looked like an icing, and I realized that. But this was a lot in Stuart Skinner's game, I believe, tonight as well. You have to be prepared for anything and everything, you know, and that's part of game management that the Oilers were doing so effectively for a better part of, better part of the regular season. And it just seemed to leave them a little bit. I don't know, Shaggy, you watch this team more than anyone. Like I find sometimes the Oilers don't do well with a lot of good praise. You know, there's a lot of good things said about the Oilers after game one. And, you know, it just seems dangerous to start believing all that stuff all of a sudden. Winning's just as hard as short memory.
For sure. And I mean, look, outside of that locker room, I mean, the narrative got going pretty good after that pretty solid performance in game one that this might be a short series, right? I don't believe for a second anyone in the Oilers room was thinking that. Lots of pundits and people and fans were all thinking that, I'm sure. But, you know, I think they took it serious. I'm not saying that they weren't prepared. I just think that they were the ones that made the mistakes early, and the Kings pounced on them. And so now you're chasing the game. And guys, like the people that are making the mistakes, I mean, you know, Leon Draisaitl with a pretty critical mistake in the opening 90 seconds of the game. You know, a flyby at the blue line that you can't make, right? That's not a play you make in game two of the playoffs. That's a play you make in a 5-1 game in game 47 of the regular season, right? And Draisaitl will know that. Nugent Hopkins not having his head on a swivel there. Darnell Nurse at the end. And have you noticed the names I'm saying? These are critical pieces of the puzzle that got caught up in making some of these mistakes. So, yeah, they let their guard down a little bit tonight. They made some mistakes. The Kings made them pay. And then, like, guys, the Kings feel like, and we just got finished chatting with them, they feel like they did a way better job of, you know, handling the neutral zone. They feel they did a way better job of the defensive game that they want. I mean, you look at the shot attempts, they were pretty close to the same. You look at the shots, they weren't that far off. This was not a night, Struds, where the Oilers carried all the play and dominated and got a few bad bounces and everything's just fine and nothing to worry about. Like, they got to fix some stuff. And this was, again, this is not bounces tonight.
Yeah. So I you know, I was there watching it, and this is what I believe. I believe if you go through four of the goals, the Oilers were out hustled. Goal one, Kopitar out hustles three players, drets the puck off the wall, just at the blue line, attacks, finds Kempe, scores. Goal two, Kempe out hustles Bouchard off the rush, and not a bit of a lucky bounce, yes, but he gets in position to make that goal. Doughty out hustles 93 up the ice, boom, breakaway. Then overtime, Kopitar out hustles Nurse, gets a breakaway. Like, those are effort plays, I believe. And I'm not suggesting Oilers didn't try hard. I just think that the Kings were so desperate to get these two, this win, not 2 points, that they were there. And that's the difference. So I think that your idea or your statement about the top players for the Kings coming and bringing more than the Oilers, I think that's fair. They were better than the Oilers' top players tonight. Everyone made plays, but when it came down to that extra little gear, they had it. Gager and the Oilers they weren't there. They weren't the same level tonight.
Yeah, Chuggy, you said it. You mentioned those names, and who's beating them? It's the best players of the Los Angeles Kings against the best players of the Edmonton Oilers, and the Kings won that battle. It's just plain and simple. There was that the old Al Pacino, you know, speech, game of inches, and they clawed and scratched for every inch, and it showed tonight.
Well, let's do this. Yep. Let's we're going to do our runs play. We're going to save the conversation about Holloway and Skinner coming up for the takeaways. But before we do that, we got to get to our relentless pair of the night, brought to you by UCanU Services. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your own company, UCanU Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help them get ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. So, you know what? Sometimes you just got to say that someone was right. And I am here to... tell
Let
Ryan
me guess.
Rashog
that you're gonna say was... that.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead. What?
I thought you were gonna call your own number again here, but are you actually calling my number on something for once?
Yes, it's. I obviously prefer to call my own number when I'm right, but I am going to call your number tonight, Dylan Holloway. Well, actually, I guess you could get it as well, Sean, because you were just as relentless as him. So let's call this a tie. 55 and Ryan Rashogtender, relentless performers of the evening. Schauger has been advocating for this guy since before he was drafted. But to his credit, Dylan Holloway was buzzing tonight. He was on it. Some nice shots, you know, getting in there, working hard. And he stuck out because I didn't see that type of offense coming in these playoffs, boys. And Schauger, We'll get to him the next one, but it is worth recognizing you were right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and all good, buddy. And again, it's not about, man, it's not about cheering for anybody in particular or against anybody else. And good for him, like really good for him. He needs positive things to happen in his career. Like for where he was drafted and the amount of time it's been since he was drafted, there have been some serious ups and downs. And trying to be a young forward in a Stanley Cup contending organization can be a nightmare. And on top of that, he's dealt with injuries and a bunch of different coaches. And good for him. He needed to have something like this happen. And this could be a real springboard moment for him, Gager.
Well, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the real reason you were late tonight was you had to try to get those adoption papers filed. So hopefully those things get finalized and marked up. But yeah, no, he was great. I mean, young guy, scoring from distance on NHL goalies at big moments too. Let's hope that the progression of Dylan Holloway just keeps going up here, and this is just this scratching the surface. I love the play of him tonight. Kulak, another guy, you know, some of those role players coming in. I thought he was like, you know, just yeah, it was just the supporting cast that's usually quite good. Just needed a little bit more
conversation. conversation for another podcast, boys, but Brett Kulak is going to be a tough player for the Oilers to let go of to make some room for Philip Broberg, yeah. because all he does, Strud, he's a third-pairing defenseman all year long, and he turns into a top-four defenseman every playoff. Like, the guy is yeah. so good in the postseason for them, it's going to be tough to part ways with him to clear space for Broberg, but again, maybe a podcast for a different day.
Yeah, he skates so well. He skates so well, that guy. Oh. He's all over the ice. He's just, I mean, getting up on the goal that he scored. Yeah, and so that's kind of my, you know, it's going to take a little time, but I think maybe Broberg can get there. All right, let's check out here really quick. When we come back, we'll get into takeaways. In takeaways, we're going to talk about the actual play of Stuart Skinner. Not happened when before the puck got to him or who didn't do what, but the actual play that Stuart Skinner had tonight. And we're lucky to have Joaquin Gauge with us to break it down. Yeah. When we come back, takeaways.
You made everyone wait for that. I like it, buddy.
Yeah, we're loving it. We're loving it. Be right back with Joaquin Gauge specialty.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
Spleen. Time for takeaways. Brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Score big during the playoffs with Zero Electric Motorcycles. Blending cutting-edge technology and sleek design, the Zero Electric Motorcycles are gearless, clutchless, and impossibly smooth with torque that will leave gas bikes in the dust. Don't miss your shot to test drive one today during Martin Motorsports free demo day in May. Visit their website to book your spot and feel the rush firsthand. A couple happy Oilers fans wheeling around in those bad boys. All right, we got Joaquin Gauge with us, Ryan Rashog on the phone, and myself. So let's get right into it. Gager, 26 shots, 21 saves. What did you see from Stuart Skinner's performance tonight? Bad luck, screens, does he need to do more? What do you feel?
Well, I said it before. I'm waiting for one of these guys to establish themselves as the number one guy in this series. I think in two games, this isn't NHL playoff goaltending. And I've said it, I think, anyways, that Stuart Skinner, if the Oilers want to progress and get to the final dance and hold the chalice, he has to be in the conversation for the Conn Smythe at that point. I don't think the Oilers D are good enough to cover up for subpar goaltending. And what we've seen from Stuart Skinner, and there have been some goals that are a little bit different, let's just say. But they're stoppable pucks. Tonight, I just don't think he was at that next level that we've seen before. I even the first goal, it seemed like the whole play kind of caught him off guard. And all of a sudden, Kempe has the puck in the slot, and he's still not even at the top of the crease. You know, he was like, oh my gosh, I got to stop this puck. Great shot. I won't take that away from him. But we've seen Stuart Skinner make those types of saves before. The second one, sometimes you just got to give it to the shooter. Kempe, a double deflection, knocking it out of the air. That's basically just got to hit you at that point. And again, I think the whole breakaway with Doughty, kind of all of a sudden it's upon him. It just the tracking back to the net. I thought he could have taken. I've seen him on breakaways before where he takes the ice away from the opposing shooter and makes him do something. And again, kind of back in the net. So, another kind of one of those plays that I don't put a lot of emphasis. It's not the goalie's fault so much because that something happens and it goes between his legs. But still, big guy could have made himself a little bit bigger and still a stoppable puck. And then the Fiala goal, that's inexcusable to me, Strutty. I don't know. It's a recognizing where guys are on the ice and watching his head movement with that. And the way he went down, that's I've done that before where, oh my God, the shot's halfway to me. And I don't know where, that's automatic reaction. And he was not ready for that shot. That is a very stoppable puck at that time. And that was a needed save. And we get to the last one. I mean, it is a great shot. But then again, I look at the positioning of Stuart Skinner. Looks like the whole play caught him off guard again. You know, it was an unbelievable bounce off the boards. All of a sudden, a guy's in on a breakaway on you. But just not prepared. Not his focus was a little bit off tonight, I would say. From what I've seen from him through the whole regular season, this isn't the Stuart Skinner that we've seen. I think he can do it, but it's got to happen quick here. He's got to get his game to that level where he should be one of the three stars at the end of it.
All right. So it sounds like there's another level for him. Can he find that other level on a travel day tomorrow, Gager, and then I'm guessing a morning skate on Friday and be ready and have another gear Friday night?
He's gonna have to, Strutty. This is like the Kings are a shot volume team. Like those little, I call them silencers, the little wristers from the point where they do a really good job of funneling those pucks to the net, and they're crashing and banging, and he made some good saves, but there's the saves that he needs to make to take goals away from the other team. And he definitely can't give, you know, the easy ones up at this point. He can't give the Kings any freebies because they're a scrappy team. And you see the juice that they get from some of these bounces, right? You see Doughty after the goal yelling at the fans. Kempe's looking like a rock star at that point. You know, they're gaining some traction here with these. There's a little spark. There's a little bit of a brush fire. You gotta put some water on this really quick. And I do believe Stuart Skinner can do that.
Schauger, any thoughts by you on Stuart Skinner and just that maybe the ability to reach another or just to get up one level, kick it up a notch?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Gager's analysis of his play, I think, speaks for itself. He knows. What I would say was interesting tonight was his post-game media availability, where he was really honest about his play. He actually said, though, and Gager, by the way, did you hear all of his post-game? Were you able to listen to it?
I heard a bit, yeah.
Okay, so basically what he said was that he didn't feel that he was a major factor in the game. And I think he probably means in both directions, right? Wasn't, you know, didn't save the game, but didn't necessarily cost his team the game. He definitely took ownership for a couple of the goals. But he was very, very positive. And he talked about how, you know, it's great learning experiences, said he didn't see the shot, I think on the Fiala goal. But said that's a good learning moment for him, you know. So I found it interesting. Like, he's always been very zen and very chill. And he was very much, his head seemed to be in a good place after the game. I think he learned lessons probably last year, Gager, about how to handle the pressure and how to handle losses and handle these situations. So it was just very notable to me, kind of his demeanor in that press conference after the fact. And it'll be interesting to see how he does in terms of bouncing back. Because if you guys recall back to last season, you know, when it started to unravel for him, you know, there were a few games in a row there where it happened. So his ability to kind of learn from that and shut it down here. And Gager, I'll let you comment on that. And Struds, I'm just going to hop in on video here. So I'm just going to hang up the phone and I'll be back with you guys in like 90 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's... To me, you know, hearing what the little parts that I did hear him in his post game, that's a sign that's a guy's that that has some experience in the playoffs too, right? It's
you
have to have the short memory and all the things that we always say, of course, that's and get off to the next one. Winning, you know, having a dominating a team, you have to forget that just as much as a bad game as well. This is that's a good sign from Stuart Skinner, because you know he says I didn't see it, but you know a goalie's job is to find the puck. I don't, you know, I remember I told a coach that one time, and he almost threw me out of his office because I said, your job is to stop the puck. What do you mean you can't find it? Like, do I got to go get another guy? And you know, there's a little I have to do a much better job of recognizing where the danger's coming from is. And be ready at all times. I can't be caught off guard like this. So I think that's what he's alluding to with, you know, with learning experiences, how it's, that's why I loved playing playoffs, playing against the same guys over and over again, the same opposition. You start to learn a few tendencies, right? And make adjustments to your game. So no different than a team doing than an individual player, and especially a goaltender. So now I think you're going to see a slight adjustment from Skinner, where there'll be way more recognition of danger, where the puck can come from, and being a lot more prepared for when those quick shots come.
Gager, thank you for that breakdown. It was great to have you on here today. Absolutely killed it. I know you're going to want to go get that beauty sleep, because you want to keep looking high and tight as we work our way through the playoffs.
Oh yeah, man. This is let's hope this is a long, long drawn out few months here, and then you and I will enjoy our Slurpees later, buddy.
I owe you one. I owe, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Later.
See you, Gager. That was a little different. Hey, Struds. A little different start to the pod. Yeah, you hosting, me all over the place. How did it go? How'd the ad reads go? Did we get through it all?
I think most of it was, you can understand most of it. So I don't think I ruined it all or a lot. But I know we got Brownie jumping in here a second. I just want to make a point clear here. I truly feel that you do create your own bounces. And I think tonight, hey, Brownie. And I'm glad you're here. It's great to have Brownie here. I'm just going to make this point, then we can chat, beat it around a bit. But I truly do believe that as a team, you make your own bounces. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, the broken stick in game one, and even some of the things we saw today in tonight's game by the Kings getting lucky bounces. But if you keep getting lucky bounces, is it just that you're lucky, the other team's unlucky, or are you actually doing something? And I think that's the slippery slope that as a player and a coach, you kind of have to identify, Brownie.
Well, it's a good point, Struts. And some of the lucky bounces that the players are talking about and the fans are talking about. Last game, the two pucks that went off feet. Today, the shot from the boards, the high boards that beats Skinner at the beginning of the period, or of the beginning of the third period. Well, look at it another way. The Kings are throwing pucks on net with traffic. They have a game plan. Their game plan is, okay, we're not going to score the pretty goals, so let's clog in front of the net. Let's throw pucks there. It'll hit a skate, it'll hit a stick, there'll be a rebound. The goal that went in the third or the fourth goal tonight from the high boards, Byfield was a mountain of a man in front of Skinner. I mean, it wasn't a pretty goal, but it was an effective play where they had, okay, we got a guy in front of the net, let's throw it on net. So, yes, it's fortunate it went in, but they created that by making a good play. The off the foot and in last game, the two plays, you know what? We had guys driving the net, and we're going to throw the puck on net. So they, as you said, they created their good bounces.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And we were chatting a little bit about that before, Brownie. Like, this was not, you know, this was not just about the Oilers were perfectly fine tonight and they had some bad bounces go the wrong way. And that was the difference. So I think, you know, we've kind of established that, like, there was more to it than that. And some key players making some key mistakes. We talked about Skinner's game there, Struddy. Did you and Gager get much into Cam Talbot in the first segment?
No, not at all.
Let's maybe hit on that a little bit, because there was a lot of focus on him, right? Like, Oilers fans doing the best they can to just, like, lean in on Talbot, right? Just merciless and good on them. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Talbot was not perfect tonight, Brownie, But that save he made late in the second period, that's going to make up for a lot of other issues that there might have been.
Well, yeah, to me, that was the game. The LA Kings had a 3-1 lead, and they saw it evaporate. And now the Oilers have a power play at the end of the period. If they score, and I think it was 18 seconds to go in the period when he made that save, if the Oilers score there, the LA Kings are going into the dressing room. We've blown a 2-goal lead. We now have to climb a mountain, and we're got to catch up. We're trailing in the game. We're not a team that's good trailing. The whole mood in that dressing room would have been, here we go again. Instead, that save, they go into the dressing room, and all they're thinking is, you know what? Simple. We win 20 minutes. We win a hockey game. We would have taken that. So, to me, the save that Talbot made, and again, I don't think he was great in this game, but he gave them a huge save at a huge moment, and I think that is one of the big reasons the LA Kings had a chance to win this hockey game.
Got to give the Oilers credit, though, right? The Kings get the lead, and you could see, like, they were dialed in, and the Oilers kept fighting back.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They kind of got back in there, although I don't think they led at all tonight, but they fought back because they, you know, near the end of the first period, they scored that goal, then they get scored on again. That third goal, you're like, oh my God, did this just really happen? And then they were able to fight their way back in. But I do like that show of resilience on a night where the other team was pushing harder than they were.
Hey, Brownie, who do you think might have gotten relentless player of the night tonight? Just wondering who you think maybe it might have been.
Well, was there a mail-in vote? Did you get to mail in your picks as well?
No, it was all Struds. It was all Struddy.
Well, hey, you know what, though? It's funny, at the end of the game, we get the game sheets and stuff. I was shocked that Dylan Holloway played under 10 minutes because he was so noticeable in this game. Whether it's through the 2 goals he scored, the physicality, getting pucks in deep. To me, I'm looking for more ice time for him because he has changed the complexions of games with some of the shifts he's had. Dylan Holloway was excellent in this hockey game.
Yeah, for sure he was.
That line was good. I thought Janmark was really good tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. You know, the other thing too, guys, and you know, I mean, really, we could sit here and talk about Dylan Holloway all night if we wanted to. But I thought Evander Kane had a couple shifts before Holloway's first goal. He had a momentum-changing shift there. He was running all over the place. He was hitting. Like, that line, I thought, deserved maybe a little bit more than they got tonight in terms of luck and maybe scoring and that sort of thing. Like, I thought they had some good looks, Struds.
Yeah, you're talking about McLeod.
Kane, McLeod, and Perry, yeah. And Kane, yeah, in particular.
No, yeah, you know what's funny? Yeah, there's no doubt. And I'd kind of waffled on that line. At first, I'd said Henrique with the two wingers. And then McLeod, there's something, I think there's something there. I think you're right. I think they are working pretty well together. And, you know, there's a couple times where Kane had the puck and kind of threw it to the middle of the ice again. And I was like, ooh, geez, why just hold on to it? You know, and I don't know if that's like the D-man in me, that it's like, it's kind of like a free pass. You know, you just, oh, these guys just let us off the hook a bit. But no, I think that is a line that I like the way that look is, that line is looking. As well as the fourth line. I thought the fourth line had a good game as well.
Well, in all honesty, Struds, the third and fourth lines were the better lines for the Oilers tonight. The star players of the LA Kings were very good. It was a quieter night for Leon. It was a quieter night for Connor. Leon's line was -2. Connor's line was -1. And the Kopitar, Kempe and Byfield, they were a combined +10 on the night. So, yeah, the third and fourth lines did their jobs tonight in this hockey game. They just had a little quieter top six for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep. Okay. Struds, have we done like a handoff thing? Like, have you passed the baton back to me? Am I hosting now, or do you want to keep hosting?
I deferred to you. I sent you a very nice text. Hey, Shoggy, run with it or something.
Oh, did you? Did you send me something like, hey, buddy, just rock and roll? Let me see what it says here. Jason. Nope, I got nothing. There's nothing here, buds.
Was it in
the group chat?
Yeah.
I'll relay it to everybody. You run it, Shoggy. Okay. That's all the permission I need. Taking back over. Okay, Struds, you're done for the night. Zuby, jump in. Me, you, and Brownie the rest of the night. Struds, thanks. We'll see you, buddy. We're actually, Struds, you've run it right into the ditch here. We're at 45 minutes, and we're not even done our second segment. So we're way over time. But that's okay, because I've already decided we're going to do an epic segment. The most epic segment we have ever done on this show is coming up next. Zuby, you're going to have to adjust on the fly. In our next segment, you guys, we are going to do Struddy's World and Brownie Points in the same segment.
Oh, my goodness. Next. That's like having Connor and Leon on the same line right there. Nice.
Something like that. Zuby, sorry to make you adjust on the fly. Get that stuff ready and go to break. We'll be right back.
No worries. Let's do it.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Time for the second best segment on the podcast, Struddy's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products with locations in Calgary and Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. Reliable, unmatched service with high-quality North American-made products. Check them out at DLRVinylProducts.ca. So my brother Rob runs the branch out in Calgary, and my brother Rick runs the branch here in Edmonton, who, Brownie, you had the pleasure of meeting tonight.
Oh, he might not be hearing us.
Hear you, nope.
We can hear him, but he can't hear us, so I'm not Brownie? Sure what happened there.
Brownie, check one, two. No, nothing? Nothing?
Okay.
All right, no problem.
I'm going to pause him. I'll see if I can phone him back in.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you figure out the stuff behind the scenes. Bottom line, Brownie met my brother and immediately liked him better than me, which he made very clear to me. Struds, what do you got tonight, buddy?
There's always trends, right? Like, I think right now it's really fashionable to have jerseys everywhere. It's jerseys, and there's the chains with the people's, you know, faces around it. But one thing I've noticed a ton Brownie of, here. And the first guy I remember doing it is Will Ferrell down in LA with the Kings. And now so many fans are face painting, and not just like face painting it blue. They have like the Braveheart look with streaks going across and different eyes. But I tell you, every time I you know, I've been in the last two games, every time I walk through the people, I you know, it's ever, I don't know, not every step, but you can look across at any group of people, Shogger, and you see someone with a very intricate face painting design.
Yes.
And I'm not sure like where it came from. I think it's Will Ferrell. I really want to give him the credit. But you know what, buddy? I love it. I think it's absolutely awesome. Like, there's a guy sitting right behind me tonight who had some significant face paints. And I'm like, I'm down. I can't do it myself. But I love it, man. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy yesterday. I probably shouldn't tell this story because I'll get a ticket. There's a guy. So I'm driving to the rink yesterday. And a guy next to me honks the horn, and I look over, and like, he is just full, but bald head, full face painted all the way down, and like, couldn't see any of his natural skin, just full commitment to the art of face painting. And so we were driving and we stopped at a red light, and they were like, "Ah, Shoggy." And so I had a Got Your Back hat in the seat next to me. So I grabbed a hat and held it out, and he grabbed it. And then Fast forward a few hours later, and they're dragging the 12 cases of hats by after Zach Hyman's hat trick.
No.
And I think I might have seen it. I was looking and I was like, oh, I think that might be it. So I think the hat that I gave the face paint guy got thrown onto the ice and ended up in a bag being donated somewhere. So I wasted $30 on him. But yes, full commitment to the face paint. I don't mind it. Brownie, can you hear us now?
I can hear you. You guys sound fantastic.
Did you hear Strutty's World?
No, but I'm sure it was fantastic.
Well, face painting, face paint. Just talking about face painting. And I had a picture last year with, I think he calls himself Banjo Guy. And I might be, and he is amazing. He is kind of like a genius. I'm trying to look at my phone right now. But anyways, I'm all about the face painting and like the real detailed work, Brownie, that they put into it.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable. I get down to the games early. And I walk around the district, ice district and all that. People are into this. This is, it's like Mardi Gras out there. And you're right, the face painting and the costumes, people are, God, they've got flags going out of cars. This is an exciting time. And I agree. I love the face painting. I can't make that kind of commitment myself. But I give credit to those people that are taking the afternoon off work to go home and paint their face so they look good for the hockey game.
For sure. And I wonder, like, there are people that will do that for you, right? So, you know, I think for like $20, although Struds, they'd probably charge you $45 because of all the extra paint required to cover the top half.
But
for $20 or $40 or whatever it is, you know, you just show commitment, show love for your team. Hey,
so this is what I do. I do, and I don't want to brag, but I do research for the pod. So I actually talked to Banjo Guy. I saw him, it was the last game of the year. I think it takes him 2 or 3 hours to do it himself.
Seriously? 2 to 3 hours?
Yeah, it's a long, I think it's 2 or 3 hours. I'm pretty sure it's pretty crazy. Like, he puts a lot of time into it. So these guys, I'm sure we get paid, but if you're doing it every time, it's pretty incredible. It looks pretty good.
So sorry, I want to jump in here quickly because Strutty, I forgot to go to the single on Strutty's World tonight because I was getting Brownie's phone sorted out. But that picture of you in the Strutty's World logo, that's the picture of you and Banjo Guy, and I took him out and turned him into a globe. I have that picture somewhere because you sent it to me for me to build this logo for. But that's my little addendum to the
yeah, we got it. I saw him, I think it was last year in the playoffs, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, he has stickers, and I got a sticker, and I can't find it. I have it somewhere in here. It's pretty cool, actually. He's a pretty cool guy. We have a bit of a relationship. I hope his name is Banjo Guy. I might be wrong, but yeah.
All right. That was the second best segment on the podcast, Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. Brownie, I was talking about you met my brother Rick tonight and immediately liked him better than me.
I did. Well, not immediately. I talked to him for a couple minutes and then liked him better. So it took a while.
All right. Okay, time now for the best segment on the podcast. Brownie points. Yeah, roll the animation, Zuby, and it's brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. Had a little bit on the way to the rink again tonight. Their world-famous jerky located right here in Alberta. Prime Alberta beef. It's available in 14 tantalizing flavors, including the famous sweet and spicy, family-owned and operated since 1962. Check out their April special. 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping. 3 pounds of jerky for $85, free shipping. Go to albertajerky.com. Brownie, hand out some points, buds.
Oh, unfortunately, it's on a losing night that Brownie points come out tonight, but there were some recipients that deserve some loving tonight. First one, 55 Brownie points to Shoggy's favorite hockey player. He's got his poster now in his bedroom. He wears his jersey to the press box, but he is well deserving of the 55 Brownie points, as I thought Dylan Holloway was excellent in this hockey game tonight. I've got 44. That's the special magic 44 Brownie points for Sergei Bobrovsky. For last night's save of the year, I don't know, did you guys see that save? He was facing the backboard, threw his arm out and saved a wide open shot. That save of the year, that was the best save I've seen all season long. So 44 for Bobrovsky. I've got 18 brownie points for Zach Hyman, his hit on Philip Deneau. I can't believe Deneau came back and played.
Oh,
that was as good a hit as you're going to find. That was textbook stretch. That is, he had him in his tracks. Deneau's leaning forward. He kept his elbow in, his shoulder down, and he ran through Philip Deneau. And Deneau ran, wobbled down the tunnel back to his dressing room for a little bit. Unbelievable hit by Zach Hyman. And the last one tonight, I've got minus 50 brownie points to the Oilers for losing a game that they got two goals from their fourth line and one goal from their third pairing defenseman. They got three freebie goals tonight in this hockey game, yet don't come out with a victory. So minus 50 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers.
What do you think, Stratty?
About that or the general? I agree with him. I think that when you get contributions from, you know, Holloway and Kulak like that, you got to find a way to get one more, right? One of the top guys got to get one more.
I have a bit of a beef here, Brownie, with your brownie points. So let's just want to talk about the way I've been treated in this segment so far, which, by the way, I've been very complimentary.
You have very good. Yep.
So here's the thing. I make a point about Dylan Holloway that you guys disagreed with. Mm-hmm. And so you take away 55 brownie points from me just because you disagree with it. Right. And now tonight, you gave me the 55 back, and that puts me at even, which I feel maybe I made a really strong point to begin with. I feel like I should have come out above water from this whole transaction, but I'm basically sitting at the same spot as Strutty, a big fat freaking zero. I just don't know how I ended up at zero from all of this.
Actually, Shaggy, no, you're still at minus 55 because I gave 55 brownie points to Dylan Holloway. You didn't score two goals in this game. You didn't get the two beauty goals tonight in hockey.
You gave
that
them to
was
me.
All Dylan Holloway.
Did you I hear that?
No.
I said
it was going to Shaggy's favorite player.
Yeah.
Dylan Holloway.
Details matter.
So
that's bullshit. That's garbage. Oh man. Whose idea was this ridiculous segment anyways? Brownie points brought to you by Hamel's premium jerky. Entirely unfair. This makes no sense. Zuby, where are we at in the show? What do we have left? We have Take a Lap left and we've got Ask Us Anything left. Brownie, are you almost home or do you want to hang in for one more segment?
I am pulling into my driveway right now. Whatever you need from me, don't worry about it. The kids at school tomorrow won't mind a tired Rob Brown.
Okay, well, why don't we, you know what? You can hang around for the first couple minutes of the next segment because we'll talk about some other stuff going on around the league and Take a Lap next.
Sounds good.
Okay, Zuby, we got one more commercial, right? And then to Take a Lap?
Correct.
Okay, thank you for letting me produce on the fly, live on air. We'll be right back.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maxwell Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
All right, take a lap. Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it's even better now with the Backscape 2.0. Engineered with the new friction fit handle, lets you effortlessly, every night I screw up the word effortlessly, snap that shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. Go to backscape.com. We've got a promo code for you as well. GYB10. Get you 10% off your first order. That's backscape.com. B-A-K-scape.com. Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. Study.
Two other games in the NHL. That's what we're looking at here. It's huge. We'll always start out with Boston and Toronto. Boston wins 4-2 in Toronto. It sounds like, by many reports, the fans weren't into it. The biggest takeaway for me, though, when I look at this, the Leafs power play, 0-5. Mm. 0-5, my friends. That's a long, long night for a pretty highly group, highly skilled group of forwards on the power play. You go 0-5.
Brownie?
I watched a lot of that game, too. And then the Leafs had a ton of chances, and they easily could have won that hockey game. But I know that Oiler fans sometimes do not like the referees. Well, you should have seen the call that they made on Tavares at the end of the game. Leafs pulled their goal. They pulled their goalie, and they call a grab on Tavares. So the Leafs had to finish the game shorthanded, trying to score a goal. It did not end well. But you can't win in the playoffs if your power play doesn't score, and the Leafs' power play was not good enough.
Can we just discuss the timely nature of Brad Marchand scoring goals? I mean, the guy is just, like, you talk about finding moments, Strutty. I mean, you know, the Leafs score and everything's going to be okay in Leafland. And then just bang. Like, he just absolutely rips hearts. He rips hearts. He finds big moments and does it, and he did it again.
Especially him, right? It's him. It's obviously him. Leafs fans hate him. Just absolutely hate. Of all time Bruins, he's one of the top, I think, guys they'd hate. But I think he scored the last two, didn't he? The Bruins. So,
or did he get the empty netter too? Yeah, he got the empty netter.
So, I mean, it's him. It is him that annoys everyone. But I just go back to that 0-5 in the power play. You got to find a way. You got to find a way to get one there.
Mitch Marner checked into the series with a primary assist. I'm not sure how the rest of his night looked, but boy, they need that guy, you know, making an impact.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough look. That's a tough look for sure. Coming out west here, Vegas Golden Knights continue to anger the world with their salary cap situation, but Dallas scored first late in the first period. Dallas scored first. But then Vegas rattles off three goals in a row. And then you're moving on, and they're now up 2-0 in this series. But that is a major surprise. I don't think anyone had this happening, guys. 2-0 Vegas on the road.
Well, how about you're the Dallas Stars and you work all season long to win the Western Conference, and for winning the Western Conference, you get the team with $100 million payroll that just won the Stanley Cup the year before. It's like, whoa, this didn't work out very well. Yeah. I did watch a lot of that game, too. Vegas played exactly like they played against the Oilers last year. They just, in their own zone, they had five guys in front of the net. They blocked everything. And then Eichel to Marchessault was an unbelievably pretty goal tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. The Dallas Stars, who I thought that's who the Oilers would see in round three, they have a tough road now. They got to beat the defending Stanley Cup champions for the next five games. And you know what Vegas knows how to do? They know how to win. So that would be a huge shock. I thought Vegas would be better by round three if they got there, but they're playing pretty good right now with all of their injured players coming right from the hospital to be able to play game one and game two.
Yeah, man. Well, off imagine
operating table.
Yeah, imagine what they got waiting for them in the next round too, right? Like their path is tough for sure. How much of an upset would you say it would be, Struds, if Vegas beat Dallas? Or is it an upset at all? I mean, look at the seeding, and it would definitely indicate that it is, but is it?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I would say it would be an upset for sure. How massive an upset? I think Brownie's point about them being the Stanley Cup champions makes sense, or defending. But, you know, they did look great down the stretch. And Dallas looked pretty decent, right? And people are, oh, Ottinger's heating up. Well, here we are two games deep. You know, can they rattle off four? That's a lot out of five. This one feels like it's going to be very dark. But I guess, you know, you roll into an enemy's territory and you try to get a win in game three and start from there.
For sure. Brownie, we're going to cut you loose here, buddy. But before we do, we're about to do our Ask Us Anything segment. And I know we'll probably discuss potential lineup changes and considerations and such. So just want to get your thoughts before you go. If you were Chris Knobloch, would you make much, if any, in the way of lineup changes heading into game three?
I don't think I would. I like what the Oilers have done, a lot of things offensively. So I don't think I would change anything. I would try to find Dylan Holloway a little more ice time in game three. For the LA Kings, they're going to have to make a lineup change. I think his first name's Carl Grunston, only played 25 seconds. That's one of the reasons you didn't see the LA Kings fourth line tonight. One of their wingers was gone after the first shift, so they played a man short. So LA will have to put someone in. I don't know which one. It'll be Turcotte or that Kalikev or whatever his name is. One of those two guys will play. But for the Oilers, no, I think they'll go with the same line, because the guys that you rotate, the only one that you would come out would be Carrick, and he's played center and played on a penalty kill that hasn't given up a goal yet here in the playoffs.
Any consideration at all, Brownie, to elevating Kane for Henrique?
In all honesty, Schauger, if I did it, I would elevate Dylan Holloway.
Really?
I'd give Holloway a look on that line. Ooh, I mean, how well is he playing? And the speed he's got? Or if not for the game, give him a couple looks. Really, give him a couple looks. I mean, you gotta go with your hot hand, and I mean, he scored two beautiful goals.
So, but I think the only thing that Kane needs right now is, you know, if he's got McDavid or Draisaitl, I think the offense will come for him. I think he's playing well enough right now that if he gets on one of those lines, that it'll come for him, don't you think?
I mean, possibly. I mean, he's had a number of chances. He's had some good looks. They've played well, but how does this sound then? He goes up there and put Holloway on the third line, and Henrique plays on the fourth.
Henrique's not going to the fourth line.
Oh, I knew Struds would chime in there.
There's no chance. I gotta stop you guys.
Did you see me throw that? I just threw my reel in and just reeling them right in right now.
Got hooked, bud.
What the hell is going on here? 2 days ago, we couldn't take Holly. Wasn't even going to play in the playoffs. Now you got him moving up to the top line, Brownie. And then Schauger, you're saying no. You got to put Kane up there because he's scoring. Like, where? What world are we in? This is crazy.
Thanks, Brownie. Have a good night, buddy.
All right, Schauger. Good call on Holloway. You're the best.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thanks, pal. All right, the great Rob Brown. Zuby, do we got another commercial break, or are we rolling right on through to our next segment?
We're in the home stretch now.
Home stretch, baby. Okay, let's get to it. Ask us anything. Let Brownie go. Bring yourself in here, and let's get some people on the stream involved. It's brought to you by Rini Buchlan, Shark of the Park of Maxwell Devonshire Realty, voted the number one individual agent for 2 years in a row. That's impressive. 2 years in a row. Voted the number one individual agent. You'll see why. Great commitment to providing clients with professional services, skilled negotiation, experience, and knowledge of Sherwood Park is key. She has it. Edmonton and surrounding area as well. Give her a call, 780-994-0280. Once again, that is the Shark of the Park. Struds, I don't think they should elevate them. I think they should... Well, I wouldn't say that. Maybe to a third line. I wouldn't put him in the top six, though. Like, you practice him in the top six, or you know, like, why put that in his head and put that pressure on him? Elevate him in game if you want, but I wouldn't necessarily just throw him up there right away. Let him earn it in game. He still needs to show up, show he's got his game, and then earn it in game. To me,
yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. You know, when you look at Adam Henrique, had a really good first game. And then today that line wasn't quite as effective. I it's hard because I don't love Kane with Hyman. They're too similar. Like, neither one of those guys is really a puck mover. I think that each of those guys, Connor, Leon, each is the guy that's a bit of a puck mover and somebody can play give and go with. That isn't Kane or Hyman.
Yeah. All right, Zuby, let's let the people get in here, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, it's late. We'll keep it tight. And the folks are a little bit reactionary here tonight. So I'm gonna preface these questions by saying that, and because I don't want you guys getting mad at me, because these aren't necessarily coming from me. But well, there's some reactionary stuff here, and I'll just let you guys do with it what you will. This is not so much reaction, but it's going to lead to something else. Bob's your uncle said, why wouldn't you have pulled Skinner after the third goal based on, you know, the shot total, and it's still the first period. Would you have considered pulling him then, and did you think it might be a possibility?
No, absolutely not, and no. Struds?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're going to grind it out, and yeah, I mean, it was early in the game. I think there's an opportunity where they show they came back. So no, I'm not pulling them out.
It's a 3-1 goal, is it not? It's 3-1 at that point, right? You're pulling your starting goaltender in the second playoff game of the year in a 2-goal game. That is a recipe to lose a guy. Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, then you guys are going to love this one, Black. You know what's coming. Black Havoc 14. My question is, what do you think happens with the goaltending? Pickard? Now, let's not say game three. Obviously, I don't think there's any doubt that Skinner will start game three. But is there a scenario other than injury where Calvin Pickard starts a game in round one? Let's say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that there would be a scenario. I think if Stuart Skinner goes in and has a terrible game next game, I think Chris Knobloch has some serious thinking to do. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think Skinner's going to bounce back from this. I think he's in a good place this time around. I think he's learned a lot, so I'm not predicting that. But yes, to me, Struds, we will legitimately be talking about it if the Oilers drop the next game and Skinner is noticeably not very good. Then I think that's, at that point, we're legit having that conversation. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a better chance that Joaquin Gage starts a game in this playoff series than, Chris Sabunia. He may be available as well.
We're knocked out of our playoff, so I am available. Yes.
Oh,
sorry. Geez. Continue.
Sorry for your loss. No, I honestly shouldn't kid around, but I think it's very unlikely. I think I like you, Shocker. I believe he's going to have a game. Next game on game three Friday night, and I think this will just go away. So, I mean, anything's possible, obviously, but I think it's unlikely based on what I believe will be a game played by Skinner on Friday.
Noel Rinsky, Brian, wants to know who chose your profile pick. He says, I have questions.
Well,
the picture we put up in your stead while you were in the car, but that is your, like,
picture,
you have your
it?
TSN, your outside, your TSN photo in the suit with your mic.
Maybe, yeah.
Is it just about time to get some got your back headshots here to have the?
Oh, wow.
For all. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose though, I can talk to Randine. She's the boss of all that kind of stuff.
I think actually we could do it with AI. I forgot about that. We could probably AI ourselves.
Do an AI
headshot. I can AI us some headshots. Where is that photo from though? Because that's not new, right?
Oh, it was like 6 months ago or so. Like, really, it wasn't that long.
Last week.
Yeah, very, very recent.
Pre-back injury.
We've been doing this podcast for almost 3 years, and we've been using it, so don't give me the 6 months.
I don't know. It was like 2017 at Pebble Beach or something like that. I don't know.
Would you say 2000? Did you say 2007?
No, 2017. Thanks, Noel. appreciate that, Noel.
Okay, Black Havoc also said, I can hear Strutty banging the drum about goaltender fatigue. Do you think that's at play here or not? We can't go down that road quite yet, Strutty.
No.
I wouldn't. I think
he was managed.
No, I wouldn't even bring it. I think he was managed very well, especially towards the end of the season. So, no, this is not, I don't think this is fatigue at all.
Yeah. No.
What did I have here? Oh, Nate Hay said something very nice. He said, I don't have a question, but just want to say how much I love and appreciate this podcast. It's the best Oilers one out
there. Wow.
Thanks. Thank you, Nate. Of course.
Thanks, Nate.
He's also pointed out on a few occasions that he was on your side with Holloway too. I forget. There's two things I know he said. I'm always on Rashog's side when these, and the two things you were right about. So I can't remember what the other one was, but
we've been doing this for 3 years. I've been right twice.
Two things recently.
That's a really, Great compliment. Let's read that one again.
The two things you've been right about.
Recently. He's agreed with you about your most recent.
Okay. Right. Even broken clock's right twice a day. That's what he basically said.
You know what I'm most frustrated about being right? This is what I'm most frustrated about is that, I try not to beat my chest too much because, you know, I mean, I'm right quite a bit. And I don't want to be constantly beating my chest. But you guys are so all over me that I'm wrong. And then when things happen in it, you know, maybe I'm right. I send stuff into our chat group and you guys just ignore it. You guys, I think you need to own up to it. When I send something into the chat that's like, yeah, what's up now? And you guys just pretend like I didn't even do it. That makes me angry. And then I get angry. I'm like, well, they're not even giving me credit. And I get angry.
Yeah. To be fair, when I'm at the game, I try not to be on my phone. When I'm at home, I text way more. But when I'm at the game, it's not easy. And you actually called me today. I was at the game. I'm like, who's calling me? I'm like, oh, it's Shogger. I better answer. Mm-hmm. And then because I never really have it on, right? It's a weird. I don't like being on my phone. I'm at the game, but at home I feel way more comfortable doing it. So it's not. I'm gonna have to go back and check it out.
When Holloway was in the lineup, and I tweeted that from practice, I sent you the David Caruso putting his sunglasses on. Yeah. And you just ignored it. Everybody just ignored it.
I don't think I even saw that. Did I see that? I'll go back and look.
Zuby, two more, and then we got to go.
I guess I'm the only one who reads the chat. Okay. No. Two, these are kind of similar. We touched on these goals already, but there's been discussion on here. So let's play a little game called Who Was More at Fault? We don't want to be overly negative, but who was more at fault in the first goal, Bouchard or Fogel?
Draisaitl.
I would put them all three. And the play by Kopitar, and there was no doubt he was getting that puck.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a harder pass by Bouchard, a hard play by Fogel, and then being, you know, maybe blocking even with your body, Kopitar by Leon.
I mean, Leon was just a complete flyby on their center. Like, anyway, yeah, I would add him to the list for sure.
Okay, and on the overtime goal, CC or Nurse?
I don't have a problem with CC pinching up there. Like went there. He's up there. And your partner has to kind of fold over, or fall underneath you, right? Or what? I think they call it, flow underneath you. But whatever. Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
And Nurse thought that was going for ice, so he held up a step because he thought it was going to be icing or something.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think he was late to react to Kopitar coming across. I think he was surprised that Kopitar came across.
I don't think he was in danger of being an icing to the point where you would not react. I didn't see that in that play. Maybe I'm wrong, but anyway.
Okay, let's end with one just a positive comment from Jackie Daytona. She said, this was on the goalie talk. She said, Oilers are still in a great situation. Not starting Skinner sends the wrong message and severely lowers the ceiling of this team if you don't believe that he can be the guy. I thought that was a good point to make about
Starting Skinner. I would be gobsmacked. So I'm not sure how much realistic conversation there even is to have about that one, Struts.
Fans are looking for something, right? They want change. They want change. And I think this is a time for stability, especially in the pipes.
I like it. We might, you never know though on Sam Carrick. Let's wait and see on Sam Carrick. It looked like he got hurt at some point in that game. I know he kept trying to play and was still engaged, but I will be keeping an eye on that one over the next couple of days. All right, let's get to our play of the day brought to you by Play Alberta. The playoffs are wild. We know that. And this year, Play Alberta is making it wilder. Make a deposit with promo code GYB50 and you snag $50 free sports bet. With your next deposit, get ready for unbeatable promotions throughout the playoffs with 10 plus odds boosts on every order playoff game and score a chance to win a pair of lower bowl or even exclusive suite tickets for an order playoff game just by making a bet on an order playoff game at playalberta.ca. Bonus terms and conditions, of course, apply. And always please play responsibly. Struds, what are we thinking tonight, my friend?
Oilers fans aren't going to like it, but I loved it. When Drew Doughty scored and he just challenged the fans, looking to the crowd, like I love that. Are you not entertained? Like I love it, man. I love Drew Doughty. I'm not going to lie. I love the guy. And he was in scrums. He was chirping the ref. Like I thought he was a real impact player tonight, but I love that moment for him.
Did you see after that mess in the crease? And McDavid was so rattled. Yeah. He went over to the penalty, but he almost crawled into the penalty box with the refs who were looking at it. And Doughty came over and was like, hey, like, what do you like? Hey, and shoved him on the chest. Like, get out of here. And backed him up. And then the two of them kind of had a laugh, right? But Doughty was all over it.
He was everywhere. Even on the power play, they would have a meeting out just outside their dot. And Drew would go stand right beside him. And he just did looking at him.
He did it to Evander Kane and to Corey Perry. Yeah, they were sitting there. And he just went and stuck his head in on the conversation.
I love it. I love the way that guy plays. I love everything about him. He's so much fun to watch. He's a real character in the league that at times you don't see enough character.
Shot the puck into the net at a commercial break too. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Shot the puck into the Oiler net.
Love it.
Just fired it in. Like it was like 5 seconds after they went to commercial.
He's feeling it, man. He's feeling it out
and
there.
Skinner went and had a word with him. So anyways, game on, series on, and game three is going to be awesome. We'll drop a post-game podcast after game three. Streds, thanks for taking the lead chair tonight for a little bit. And I know it's an early morning for you, pal. We'll talk to you in a couple of days.
Yeah, can't wait, guys. Great, great times.
All right, Zuby, thanks for everything, my friend.
Right on. Good show, fellas.
Okay, big thanks to all of our sponsors and, of course, our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. And once again, thanks to all of you for staying up late with us. Real solid number joining us here on the live stream. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks for your downloads and your subscriptions. We'll see what happens in Game 3, and then we will beat it to death afterwards. Can't wait. Talk to you soon.